Is abortion just a religious issue, as some claim today? Are there negative, maybe even unexpected, consequences from abortion today? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Vicki Thorne. She's the founder of something called Project Rachel, and she'll explain that to us in just a moment. She's also the executive director of the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, and she's an adjunct professor of psychology at the John Paul II Institute for Studies on Marriage and Family at the Catholic University in America. Vicki Thorne, welcome to the program. So good to have you on. Thank you.
Why? Thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sure. Okay, so Project Rachel. I'm going to guess that has to do with Rachel weeping from the Bible. Rachel weeping for her children.
15.
Yeah, tell us about that.
And the Lord says, yeah, cease your cries, they've been heard. Project Rachel was founded in 1984 here in Milwaukee by me. And it is the outreach of the Catholic Church in terms of post-abortion healing. It is located within a diocese. It has specially trained clergy, mental health people, spiritual directors, and others who are part of a network of caregivers. Designed originally to be one-on-one, because in the beginning when I started at Jerry, you couldn't put it together enough women to do a Bible study or a retreat or anything. There was a great deal of shame associated with this, and it's still there. But now there are many things online. People can see other women, you know, who are talking about their pain, and that gives them permission to deal with theirs. So Project Rachel came out of an experience of my own of a friend in high school before abortion was legal who had an abortion arranged by her mom. And turned out that there was incest in the house. Her brother was the father of that baby. But it wasn't until later I found out she'd also had a child before and placed it for adoption. And, you know, I'm a high schooler, all right? I mean, what do I know about any of this? But every time she talked about it, she ended our conversations with the same two sentences for years and years. I can live with the adoption. I can't live with the abortion. Mm. And that was really a sensitizer for me. Those words are still etched in my heart, that women need help. And so as my life unfolded, I was able to be in a position where I could start a ministry and, you know, encourage healing and to really be present to those who are in need of assistance.
This ministry that you're talking about is founded within the auspices of the Catholic Church, but this, by the way, this radio station is more evangelical, and yet this is something that people of all denominations and even beyond Christianity need, correct?
Oh, absolutely, Jerry. And the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, which I also founded, is an ecumenical organization where there is resource to whoever wants to be helped in terms of either getting help or learning how to help. Okay. You know, from the 70s, now that's before abortion was legalized in our country, there was an outreach in Japan in the temples because they believed that if someone had an abortion, the spirit of that child could not reincarnate. Okay. Not a Christian country, not a pro-life country. Taiwan has something called baby spirit programs. Same thing, this attempt to appease the spirit of the child that's lost in there and to help the family to heal. It's a universal phenomenon. There's some fascinating science that I've come upon in the past, well, I guess it's been almost 15 years now, there's something called microchimerism. And what this is mothers carry cells from every child they ever conceive the rest of their lives. And the cells are there very early, maybe about 4 weeks. These cells are present. There are different places in the body. They morph into brain cells and heart cells and liver cells. And mothers also pass those cells on to their other children as well as their own cells. And according to the National Institute for Health, if there's an abortion or a miscarriage, mothers carry more cells from those children than they do from the birthed children. Don't know why. I can't explain it, but that's what they find. So the reality is that this knowledge of the children I've conceived and may not have born is biological knowledge. And, you know, it's there in terms of needing to be reckoned with at some point.
Wow, this is interesting stuff. What percentage would you guesstimate of women that have abortions, period, regardless of any kind of religious background or secular background, whatever, do feel guilty about it or don't feel happy about their abortion?
Well, you know, it also happens that it could be at any point in their life, which makes it hard to gather statistics specifically to this.
Because, in other words, it could be something that's...
years ago.
In other words, it could be something buried for years and years and years, and then it comes out later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. For some women, it may not come up. Perhaps they're dying. Perhaps they're in hospice. People who do chaplain work in hospice discover this comes up. Okay. She might be, and many times she is fine for a while. Okay, because she's in denial, depending on how old she was when she had the abortion. Really, we can't begin to process deep things until we're 25, based on our brain development. Okay? But, you know, it might be that now she's infertile. Oh, that might be an issue. Okay? Might be she loses a child. Okay? Those pieces are there. It was some time ago, there was somebody involved in the pro-abortion movement who had talked about the fact that 1 to 10% of women will have severe psychiatric aftermath, okay? And my belief is that there's probably another 80% that are somewhere from severe to mildly bothered, and that there's maybe 10% out there who may go through life without really addressing the issue. But that's purely conjecture on my part in terms of that last piece.
Yeah.
You know, the women I've talked to over the years in many places and different times, and, you know, part of what I've done is help other dioceses to set up the ministry, you know, trained people in crisis pregnancy centers, many, many things. We just have to be present if it's bothering her. And that's the important thing, that there's someone who can listen compassionately and can help her walk through the process of healing to understand what the process is. Okay?
I assume you've dealt with...
And, you know,
Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, you weren't finished?
I was just going to add one thing.
Yeah.
We can't forget the fathers, Jerry. Because the fathers are hurting equally, and nobody talks about them, and nobody gives them permission to heal.
Hmm. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. We've done two conferences on men and abortion.
Yeah,
and
just
we've
elaborate.
Got a website, menandabortion.info. Yeah.
Yeah, just yeah. Say more. Say more about that, about the fathers. You're right. We never hear about that.
No, you know, it's interesting, again, biology. When we're pregnant at 4 weeks, when those cells are in our body, or beginning to be in our body, our scent changes. And our partner recognizes that we're pregnant based on something called pheromones, which are scent molecules of affiliation. They're perceived by a different nerve than perfume. Okay? His body begins a whole hormonal change that continues till about 6 weeks after the pregnancy. So he's also in this dance. And nobody recognizes it. We pretend they're sperm donors. You know, it does none of your business. It's her body, blah, blah, blah. But many of these men are so deeply wounded, and they don't know who to tell because they're going to say you're crazy. You know, why would it bother you? You know, you just forced her. Well, he might not have forced her at all. He may have begged her not to. And there's so many complex stories that we don't hear.
Mm. You know, since you're so knowledgeable about all this stuff, can I ask you about something that's virtually forbidden in this culture? And that is there possibly, is there possibly a link between abortion and breast cancer? Because as the woman,
there is one. Yeah.
There is one? A definitive one?
Yes,
well, I mean, that's very politically incorrect. Tell us about this.
Yes, it is. Well, it's definitive. And it happens especially in the first pregnancy. All right, because in the first pregnancy, a woman's breasts go through four sets of from never to mature, having nursed, go through four changes. The abortion happens at a point in which the cells are described as non-differentiated cells. They don't go back to the never stage, and at that point, they haven't finished the mature stage. They are in a growth mode, and if there is a carcinogenic anything, it is a spot in the woman's body where she is very vulnerable.
Well, let me just...
And that's politically incorrect.
Okay, and let me just say this for the record. I mean, honestly, any breast cancer donations, in other words, donations to help fight breast cancer that end up ultimately in the coffers of abortion providers could easily be, you know, counterproductive. I mean, the very thing you want to fight, you end up actually enabling.
Yeah. Enabling, yeah. And then it's after the fact that you're trying to do something about it. It's just women have been so lied to, Jerry. We don't have time in terms of the show today, but women have been so lied to in terms of health issues, in terms of breast cancer, in terms of the use of hormonal contraceptives. I did a conference a year and a half ago called Contraceptive Conundrum. That was just a science symposium, talking about things about the hormonal contraceptives, so the pill and some other things that nobody's told any of us in terms of health issues, in terms of relationship issues. And people said, why hasn't anybody ever done this before? Mm. We need to know this stuff. Okay?
You're absolutely right. What is your website? If people wanted to get more information on your studies, your research, your talking, et cetera.
Well, at this point, the one that they would go to is nopar.org, N-O-P-A-R-H.org, and that's got a lot of information. It's got links to help. It's got research there and other things. They can reach me by email from that website. There's an address there. There's also menandabortion.info, which is the website we put up concerning men and abortion. Again, research, men's stories, things that people find very interesting. So those would be the two pieces.
Okay, so this is going to be www.noparh.org, standing for the National Office of Post-Abortion.
National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, right.
Okay, excellent. All right, let me ask you this. In dealing with these different clients that feel guilty about abortion, what would you say is the single biggest breakthrough that helps them become forgiven? And obviously, by the way, you know, a relationship with Jesus Christ would be A1.
Yeah.
But some people need to almost recognize, they need to almost come to grips with the fact, hey, I had an abortion. And no, the pain didn't go away. The problem wasn't solved. In fact, it just created new ones. Tell us about this.
Yeah. Well, oftentimes a woman will experience something that's called a trigger incident. All right. Today, I know it's a problem because I saw something on TV. I read a book. I heard somebody preaching. I mean, it can be any number of things. And so there isn't just one thing that would act as a trigger. It's God deals with us all individually, and there will be just something that suddenly makes her aware that this is an issue in her life that needs to be addressed. And at that point, she'll go looking for help.
Mm. When you do some sort of post-abortion counseling or whatever to try and help women come through it, is this several weeks? Is it just a few nights? How does that work usually?
Well, the way Project Rachel works is it's open-ended. Because there's a network, if she wants to see a clergyman first, she can do that. She wants to see a mental health professional and work on some of those issues first. So there isn't a time limit to it. Some of the other things that are out there have time limits. It's a Bible study and it's 8 weeks. It's a retreat and it's a weekend. But Project Rachel was designed to be open-ended in terms of whatever she needs and however long it takes. We're there to walk beside her.
Yeah. The fact that we've had, since Roe versus Wade in January 1973, we've had about 60 million abortions in this country. Your kind of project never, you know, suffers for business. I hate to say it that way, but I mean, in other words, there's just so many women that must be hurting.
Well, there are, Jerry. And, you know, the other thing we have to recognize is that abortion was done frequently before it was legalized. It just wasn't counted. I can't tell you how many men, women I've met who were in their, you know, 80s, 90s, World War I, World War II, the Depression. Doctors did them in their offices. And those women are hidden in this, in these numbers. Okay, so it's even bigger than that. But there are so many people, women and men, who are looking and need help, but they don't necessarily know where to find it. But I have to say, you know, the blessing of the Internet is that it's possible to find help through the Internet to put in the aftermath of abortion or post-abortion aftermath, you know, use your whatever phrase you want. It is interesting that there are a couple of sites that are pro-abortion that still maintain abortion was a good thing. You know, we'll help you deal with this. These are problems you maybe had beforehand, you know, that just kind of cropped up sort of thing. But by and large, most of the help that's out there is many of them, the outreaches are started by women who've had abortions themselves, have done healing, have written, you know, reflection books, Bible studies, things like that. But at this point, there are many, many resources. Many crisis pregnancy centers have resources. Individual congregations may have resources. But congregations need to be very seriously aware of how many people in their congregation are hurting from abortion and do something about it. Mm. Because that is something that people say, you know, I've been going to my church all this time. I've never heard anything about healing.
Wow.
You know, I've never heard anything.
All right, we're out of time.
Need to be cognizant of that.
Yes. Vicki Thorne, and again, I want to give your website. It's www.noparh.org. Standing for the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing. Thanks so much for being with us. God bless you and all the best.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.